Bible readers, you know this whole entire, story, David avenges Amalekites. They come in, they sweep the place over, take everything they have. Let's look down at verse number 21. Bible says, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, who had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. And then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord, notice we give it to the Lord, hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered us. God, in other words, had kept his hand upon them, the company that came against us, into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Lamb of God, we thank you tonight for grace and mercy. We're thankful for you, Lord. We're thankful for the ability that we have to just have the strength to gather ourselves together and make our way to the house of God. Lord, that we may fellowship with you and your word, God. Speak to our hearts tonight, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, the church said amen and amen. I'd like to just look at those couple of few words right there in that 24th verse where David said, so shall his part be that, notice this, tarrieth by the stuff, that tarrieth by the stuff. Now in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, very familiar scripture, we find that David and his men returned home to a scene there of Sister Wanda, desolation and ruin. There was utter destruction throughout Ziklag, and they were off in the battle fighting, and when they returned home, they found that the Amalekites had invaded the home front, and that wasn't all. They burned it. It was on fire and burning. Now, they should have been able to return back to the house into a joyous occasion, having been gone off of fighting and war and in the battle themselves. They should have been able to return with the women and the children all waiting there at home, not having seen them for some time, rejoicing that daddy's come back home, and them rejoicing that they would see their wives and their children that they've not seen in some time. But that's not the way it was when they got back, Brother Pee-wee. They found the gates had been knocked off the hinges and the rockers kicked off the porch, if you please. Everything was burning and on fire. It was a chaotic mess with all of their belongings being scattered. I guess you'd say all over the country. Amen. And their families had been taken captive, church. They'd been carried off to who knows where to do who knows what. Amen. And David and his army are torn up on the inside. They're ripped apart, and rightfully so, church. And the Bible says, in my words, they squalled like a baby. It says that they wept until they couldn't weep anymore. They wept with everything that they had. They cried out, amen, before the Lord, until they did not have any more ability within themselves to weep anymore. The Bible says that David was greatly distressed because his men turned church were so upset because of this that they were ready to stone him to death. You can read it back in the first part of this chapter. We always think about it. Want to find somebody to blame. And they were ready to lay the blame all upon David. When something goes wrong, that's the way it is. But David, the Bible says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We quote that oftentimes because I'm telling you, we have to encourage ourselves. There's not always going to be the preacher to come along and try to encourage us. There's not always going to even be one of your family members, Brother Frank, or one of your friends to be there to encourage you. We're going to have to do it ourselves, church. But we know the story's in here. Amen. They recovered all, church. They go and they seek out and they find the Amalekites. I mean, they literally put a hurting on them, Brother Frank. And they battle, the Bible says, from sunset on one day until the next evening. Not even 24 hours. They've got this thing taken care of. We're not talking about just 5 or 10 folks. We're talking about a battle here. They recovered all that they had lost. Thank God for all of those able-bodied men that went out to fight and fought and stood along beside David in the battle there. Them that waved their swords and threw spears and shot arrows, if you please, in order to fight and recover all that had been taken away from them. Thank God for men and women tonight, church, who are willing to stand and fight in this battle that we serve in together, the battle of the Lord. God knows we need a whole bunch of more saints of God standing on lines and fighting and warring against the enemy of our souls. Oh, but there's some folks right here in this scripture tonight that I want us to pay close attention to. I want us to look at them. The folks, if you look back in verse number 10 and verse 21 where we read, and verse 24, the 200 men that the Bible mentions were exhausted. They were worn out, Brother Frank, beat down. They were so faint that they couldn't continue on. And David said to those men, he said, "Boys, you just tarry right here by the stuff. Tend the fire, keep it hot, keep the tents up, take care of things around here at the camp, maintain the home front." In other words, and when we get back from the fight, we're going to divide the spoils up among us. Each man's going to be able to get an equal share. You may not have a shot an arrow in the fight. You may not have swung a sword or picked up a rock and threw it. But you tarry by the stuff. Come on and help me tonight, church. You'll get a part, in other words, just for being faithful, just for being constant, steadfast, and true. Hallelujah. Because you have tarried by the stuff. Can I tell you tonight, church, God, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for those tonight that have made up inside their hearts and in their minds that they're going to be faithful, church, in a season and out of season, whether everything's going great and good and lovely or whether things are horrible or even bad. Amen. I'm going to serve him. They have made up in their minds tonight, church, that I'm just going to tarry by the stuff. Oh, can I tell you tonight that I'm glad for every single church member tonight. Thank God for every person that sings in the choir. Thank God for every tithe payer tonight. Thank God for every mission supporter tonight. Thank God for every amen and hallelujah, glory to God, a shouter tonight. Thank God for every person that invites people to the house of the Lord. Thank God for the grass cutters and the sign changers and the vacuumers and floor sweepers and anybody that does anything in the house of God. Thank God for those tonight, church, that don't ever get a whole lot of recognition. Thank God for those that never see their names in the bulletin or names on the sign outside. But every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, and it may be just a few, think about it, but they have their minds made up. I'm going to be found faithful sitting in the house of God, because I'm going to tarry by the stuff, regardless of what anybody else does, regardless if nobody else stands with me. I will stand alone if necessary. In a day where we look around and see mass exodus, in a day where we see a whole lot of compromise around this church, in a day where we find that many people have laid down and quit, in a day when we look and we find that families are literally falling apart, thank God, I said thank God, that there are still a few that have their minds made up. We may not be the majority tonight, church, but we'll be the backbone of minority that tarrieth by the stuff. Glory to God. David made sure, you look at this story, he made sure that he invested in these men that tarried by the stuff. When nobody else wanted to recognize the value of these 200 men, David understood. David recognized the value of somebody staying with the stuff. Amen. Someone to be faithful in what seems like just a little bitty thing. Huh? Come on now. But it meant a whole lot to David, Brother Frank. It meant a lot to him. Something I want us to notice about all this tonight, just quickly. First of all, tarry by the stuff when you're tired. Hallelujah. Tarry by the stuff when you're tired. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, and David came to the 200 men, which were, now notice this, not just faint, church, not just faint, but they were so faint. Amen. So faint that they could not follow David. In other words, what he's saying right here is that they were war, Brother Pee Wee, slap out. You've ever been war slap out? I know you have. Not just war out, but they were war slap out. Can I tell you tonight that life in and of itself has a way of getting a hold of you and causing you to be worn slap out. Just living life in and of itself, glory to God. Just living for the Lord, you can become more slap out, church. But even though they're tired, even though they are give out, they're going to tarry by the stuff. Brother Ray, why are they going to tarry by the stuff even though they're tired? You say, you know what, I'm tired. Think about it. I'm tired tonight. I give out. I'm tired of always being one that maybe turns the other cheek when people do me wrong. I'm tired of being faithful, Brother Frank, when half the crowd is never found faithful. I'm tired of giving. Amen. When you look over there to the other half of the crowd that's coming, and you never find them giving anything. Oh, preacher, let me tell you, I'm tired of always being the one to carry that banner. Amen. And do what's right when we look around and find that everyone else is living for the devil, if you please. Everybody else is just doing their own thing. I'm just tired. Amen. In other words, why should I continue, Brother Ray, to tarry by the stuff? Oh, I believe, church, tonight that these men right here tarried by the stuff for a couple of different reasons. They tarried because, first of all, they had a friend. Amen. They had a friend in David, church. They didn't want to let David down. They wanted to make sure that they pleased David because David had been a friend to them. David had been good to them, church. You look back up in chapter 22, amen, and you'll see that the Bible says David therefore departed. Verse 1, David departed thence and escaped the cave Adullam. Back over in chapter 22, verse 1. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. They went to where he was. And everyone, the Bible says, here's these 200 men that we're talking about. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves, the Bible says, unto him, talking about David. And he became, the Bible says, a captain over them, and there with him were about 400 men. You want to know why these men tarried by the stuff? Because they got to thinking in their minds. And they got to looking back, Brother Frank. And they got to remembering back in their lives when they were in trouble. They remembered back when they didn't have any hope whatsoever. They remembered back, church, when they were in distress with nowhere to turn tonight. They remembered when they were in debt and did not have any money or ability whatsoever, amen, to repay. They remembered when they were discontent in their hearts, in their lives, and nothing that they did satisfied them, church. They tried everything that they possibly could, and nothing filled that void. Nothing filled the emptiness. Nothing filled that hole on the inside of them. But here comes somebody along the way, and they said, hey, there's a man over there by the cave of Doom. He's taken all of the outcasts. Hallelujah. He's taken the people that nobody else wants anything to do with. He's taken all the outcasts. He's taken anybody and everybody that'll come along. You know what they thought? Well, maybe he can do something with me. Maybe he can help me. Maybe he'll take somebody like me. Maybe he'll try to help me. And when they marched down to that cave, there was David. And David said, you can come on in. Come like you are, Brother Pee-wee. You won't have to change at all. Come like you are. But I promise you, you will not leave like you came. I'll take you in. In other words, come on with me. And you can be my friend, David said. They remembered this. I'll be your friend. If you want to know why you have tarried by the stuff tonight, you want to know why you continue to tarry, amen, when everybody else is deciding to quit and stay at the house, you want to know that drive that makes you have a want-to on the inside? Because you have a friend tonight, church. Can I tell you? You've got a friend tonight. He's a friend. The Bible said it's sticking closer than a brother. Hallelujah. He's a friend. And can I tell you? His name is Jesus. When we were on our way to hell, church, without God, when we tried everything that there was to try, been with everything, done everything under the sun, there was nobody that came by your way, glory to God, and said, there's a man over there, his name is Jesus, somebody said, Amen. A man that will love you. A man that will receive you. A man that will accept you. They said, there's a man named Jesus who will love you, Brother Frank, just like you are. And he'll be a friend to you tonight. Oh, preacher, why should I continue to tarry by the stuff? Because let me tell you, Jesus has been your friend. He's been your friend. Oh, what a friend. I'm not going to sing it, but it's a good song. What a friend we have in Jesus. If for no other reason tonight, you got a friend. You ought to want to keep preaching. Glory to God. You ought to want to keep going to the house of God. You ought to want to keep waving that banner up high for the world to see. Glory to God. If for no other reason, you want to be faithful tonight, because we have a friend. Keep telling people about Jesus, church. They tarried behind the stuff because they have a friend. And that's not all. They tarried by the stuff when they were tired because they had a family. They had a friend, but they also had family. They thought to themselves, if we don't keep the camp up, if we don't tend to the camp, what's our families going to do when David returns with them and brings them all back home? We're trusting and praying that David, you understand, is a perfect picture of Christ, of Jesus. We're trusting that David is going to recover all. He's going to recover everything that we've lost. And we want to make sure that when they come back, church, that there's still a place. Hallelujah. That there's still a place for them to come home to. That the tent is still up, glory to God. That the table is spread before them. That the light is still burning bright for them. That somebody is there tarrying by the stuff. Oh, I wish I could claim tonight, church, before you, that my love for him was grand, but it's not. But when you look to the Savior, when you look at him on the other hand, church, his love for me and for you, it's grand tonight. My love for him is really meniscus, minute, very limited and very small compared to the love, Brother Frank, that he has for us tonight. I'm telling you, there's times on Sunday mornings when I'm just tired. What about you? Amen. I'm tired. Do you know what drives me, church? To keep tarrying by the stuff, to keep picking my head up. Glory to God. To keep putting my tie on and picking up my Bible and making my way across this road back over here to the church. The reason why I make my way to this pulpit, glory to God, and preach just one more message. Amen. The reason why I try to live for God and do the best I can on a consistent and continual basis. Because I've got a little boy. Amen. Well, he's not so little anymore. He's 30 years old at the end of this month. Whew. Because I've got some grandyoungins, 5 and soon to be 2. Amen. They're watching. Folks are watching, church. So I'm going to tarry by the stuff. I want to tell you, I realize this. If daddy quits, oh, help me tonight. If mama throws in the towel, church, and she lays down. If daddy quits preaching, if daddy quits living for God and carrying the gospel, what's it going to do to my family one day, church? They're going to look back, amen, and they're going to say it was all a show. It was all put on, Brother Frank. It was all fake to begin with. The whole time, there wasn't anything to it. Oh, I'm telling you, there are times that I tear it by the stuff just because of my family. Amen. Amen. What about you tonight? There's somebody behind you, mama, tonight, Oh, I want you to know that. There's somebody behind you, Daddy, tonight. There's somebody behind you, Grandpa. There's somebody behind you, Mama. There's a heritage, I'm telling you, a history behind you, church. And I know, amen, that it's real. And they need to see you tarrying by the stuff, church, because it is real tonight, church. Oh, and that prodigal son, when he jumped ship and left the father's house. Think about this. When he left church, amen, what if the father had a said, there isn't any use in keeping up this big old farm. One of my hands has done left. My boy's done left me. Amen. Let's just sell the farm off. Brother Peewee, let's just quit. Let's just close up shop and move along on to our business somewhere else. Let's just find us a small little place. We don't need a big place like this anymore. What would have happened, church, when that prodigal had returned back to the house? What if he would have knocked on that door and there hadn't been a daddy that come to the door and answered that door? Amen. If there hadn't been a daddy that come running down that road to meet him, amen, where he was. Oh, hey, I'm telling you, when that boy came to himself, when he came to himself, church, I know one place, he said, that I can go to. I know a place, amen, where I can still find somebody keeping the old cook fire stove up. Somebody there is still living for God. Somebody still serving God. Somebody still walking the floors and raising their hands and calling out my name before the Lord. Somebody, amen, is tarrying by the stuff, and I know a place where I can go, church, back over there where I left from, back to the Father's house. Whew. What if he hadn't been there? You say tonight, I got a wayward son. I got a wayward son.